Good morning, everyone.
Hey, everyone.
CTP, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Brett. How are you?
I'm great. This is Faust, everyone, DJ Faust, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. You already know what it is.
What is it?
You already know what it is. You know where it is.
What time?
It's 6:01. Oh.
So it's time?
What did you mean?
No, I mean, I'm just saying it's the morning. This is a morning show.
It's a morning show.
This is the self-help half hour.
Exactly.
And we're here to answer your questions.
We're here to
sort out your problems, your quandaries.
Right.
And most importantly, to make sure that you can wake up well.
That's what it's all about today.
Yeah.
So, in spirit of that, let's start with a 20-minute orchestral piece by Igor Stravinsky. Here's the Rite of Spring.
Ooh.
Thank you.
Well, folks, we thank you very much for joining us on that wild ride.
Whoa.
What a piece, right?
Can I just say whoa?
You can. You can say whoa as many times as you want.
I'm really enjoying our little kind of early in the morning getting these orchestral pieces.
Right.
Get you moving.
This
get you out of bed.
This one was definitely a lot more jarring than the last one, which was... But, you know, people wake up in different ways. Some people wake up nice.
Fighting.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
So the interesting story about that song, when Igor Stravinsky, I don't know if you know this, but when Igor Stravinsky premiered that song, the show ended with a riot in the theater in Paris.
Yes.
And the French don't riot for nothing.
I had a fun story about this one.
Yeah.
Apparently, one of the dance moves they were holding their cheek and dancing around.
Right, because this is a ballet, folks.
Yes, this is a ballet. And someone screamed at them, well, go see a bloody doctor.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they were holding their cheek and it looked like they had a toothache, which I'm sure
they say the French
was a burn.
French humor,
back
nothing
in
like
1920.
French humor.
Yeah.
French disses. Well, folks, it's time to read a PSA, and this is one that's very special to Colin as a philanthropist, as a community member.
I think it applies to everyone equally, especially as the months roll in, darkness approaches the land, and the wolves howl in the mountains. This is about grill safety, folks. We all know it. We all need to abide by it. We know everyone's trying to do the winter cookouts, but
everyone thinks they're so powerful when they're at their grill.
Yeah, let's sort this out.
Sort it out right now. Let's hear this PSA.
Grill safety PSA. Summer is a super time to cook so many tasty kinds of food, including vegetables.
Amen.
On an outdoor barbecue.
Amen.
But some of the worst fires ever in Somerville and Medford, as well as other urban areas, have been caused by grills left unattended on porches. Always move a grill at least 10 feet away from any building before lighting it. Don't even think about using it on a porch, and never, ever, ever leave a lit or smoldering grill unattended. If you observe smoke coming from a porch or building, call 911. If you see people grilling on a porch, call the fire department. You're not being a cranky neighbor, you're being a concerned citizen. That was a public service message from the firefighters of Somerville and WFO in Medford, Tufts Community Radio.
Now, that is simply a great message and a great cause, because I thought that you could just leave a grill out there.
I've been at, I think as college
students. I
think
students, we've done that.
Yeah, we've been at places where a grill has been left unattended or people have turned it on a porch because it just started raining.
Right.
And you know what? I was joking about the winter thing, but there are winter cookouts. We all do them.
We all do them.
We all like to feel that feeling, the humbleness, the power.
Mm. It seems it could just blow over. The wind could come and knock it over, and then it would just
be
fire.
There'd be a fire on your porch.
Complete inferno.
Remember, call the firefighters, call Somerville or Medford firefighters, guys. It's that's an important one.
That's important. Yeah, All right, folks. Well, I think we're going to continue with some music, and we'll be back around the 30-minute mark for some life hacks. Hey.
Ooh.
All right, let's do it.
What are we playing?
We'll see.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
That was Crystal Castles with Affection, and before that, Seoul. That is, Seoul as in the Korean city.
Oh, nice.
Not
they're putting out music now.
The thing that's, yeah, I guess they like to put out, the whole city came together to put out a song. It was really relaxing, I think.
It was loud, nice. Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. Well, folks, it's around the half-hour mark, so you know what that means. It's time for our life hacks. Every week I scour the internet for the best and worst life hacks that I definitely did not write. So here we go, folks. Let me just pull it up here. Today's is a very good one. Very useful.
Do we have a theme for this week? I know last week it was all about avoiding
cuisine.
Cuisine.
Ooh. Yeah. All right. Life hack number two.
Life hack.
Want to heat up that cup of soup, but don't have a microwave? Happens all the time, right?
All the time.
Save yourself a trip to Target and harness the infinite power of the sun.
What? But how?
Using 12 or more everyday mirrors, assemble or splice together your own oven in the shape of your favorite dodecahedron, such as a rhombic, small stellated, or trapezoidal dodecahedron. Simply build your oven so that the sun's rays are focused enough to heat up your yummy treat. Presto.
Life hack. Wow, that was, I was honestly expecting you to say, put it in a pot and put it on the stove.
That wouldn't make any sense.
Or at least, forage for woodland.
Well, a microwave works based off of, the sun's rays.
Oh, there we go.
I think, is the technology.
Yeah, well, that's what they trap inside the box.
Right. And most of us have, 12 or more mirrors lying around, but most of us can't afford a microwave.
I know I have 12 mirrors.
I have, maybe 14 mirrors or more.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is a truly good life hack.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome. Well, Colin, what song do we got queued up here?
I thought we'd actually go into our advice section.
Oh, you want to go right into the advice section?
To kick off our second half.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I can't wait for the advice section either.
Okay.
I think it's going to be very fun.
For all our listeners listening for the first time, this is the self-help half hour. We help people, but you got to help yourself. So that's why our loyal fans have been writing in every week, giving us a new question for them to answer.
Right.
We try to give them the best advice we can.
Mm-hmm.
This is all about self-empowerment. From this week, to help with the confidentiality, if anyone writes in, you'd be completely confidential. But what should our listener be called today?
Let's go with, how about Axeman?
You read the email already. I get that. Let's go with Sally.
Sally. Okay.
Okay.
Sure.
Hey, guys. Long-time listener, first-time writer here. I've always loved you guys' advice, and I finally think I found my own personal quandary for you guys to tackle. Great word, quandary.
Awesome.
Sally knows I use that all the time.
Wow.
I've been single for a while now, and I decided to get back on the horse with the whole social media dating thing. I met a nice guy through Tinder, and even after just one date, everything clicked. We've seen each other a few times since then, and I was just getting ready to introduce him to my friends, see what they think of him, when my problem happened. Ooh.
Ooh.
You see, when he met my friends for the first time, he introduced himself as Axeman. We did a little look through this one before we read it for the first time, but...
Right, it's early, folks.
Axeman. I was rather taken aback, seeing as I had never heard of this before. It wasn't even a passing joke. He insisted on being called Axeman by both friends he met. He tells me it's because he plays guitar, but my friends are starting to be concerned that I might be dating a serial killer.
Ooh.
Is there anything I can do to change his mind?
Interesting.
I think Axeman, even though we like each other,
right,
might just be too big a pill to swallow.
Oh, well, that is...
Much love. Love the show. Thanks, you guys. Sally.
Wow. Well, Sally really is in a quandary.
Yeah. Let's talk about names and relationships. How important is a name to you?
I think a name is somewhat important, but I don't... I don't think it would, you know, be the deciding factor for me.
Yeah, you could date an Egbert.
I could date
a Eugene.
Right. Bernadette.
Yeah.
You know?
Whoa. Bernadette is...
Is that normal?
That's completely normal.
Right.
Where this is starting to get me kind of freaked out...
Right.
...is... Axeman is clearly a nickname he's given himself.
It's a nickname, for sure. It's like an alter ego.
Yeah, it's not, but like a cool nickname would be like Rusty.
Right.
Or like Chip.
Yeah.
But no one calls their friend Axeman. And I think it's especially, she didn't say anything about meeting his friends, did she?
Oh, he doesn't. He might not have any. He might not have any.
Well.
Right. But he also could be a caped crusader.
Here's the thing.
Is that a little far-fetched?
No, I'm kind of coming in at this thing from three angles at the same time.
Right.
Because you need to weigh your options in any of these situations. Mm-hmm. You've got one, that he might not have many friends, and he gave himself the name Axeman because he thought it would be cool.
Right.
But she didn't bring up his friends, you know? Yeah, maybe four options then.
Yeah.
Two, he is called Axeman, but then it's still a bit strange
that he would force
other people to say to call him Axeman.
Well, that's just...
I've no doubt this is not his real... No, she knows this isn't his real name. It's not his real name.
Yeah, okay.
I've no doubt that... Yeah, that maybe it is his real Axeman name. She's not giving him enough help on that, but... Maybe you could have gone with like Clive or something when meeting your friends.
But that doesn't have the same impact.
I know. If I was called Axeman, then the third option is he is literally a superhero.
Which would be dope.
And everything Sally is saying is completely bogus.
Right. Maybe she just doesn't know.
Or four, serial killer. Actually a serial killer.
That's true. We forgot that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you know?
Which would be like the other extreme end of if he was a superhero, which would be so cool.
An online survey of social media users who used dating apps found that women's biggest fear using a dating app was that they would meet a serial killer.
Really?
And men's biggest fear was that the woman wouldn't match her picture.
Aw, that's very telling.
Isn't that so telling?
In both situations, men suck.
Yeah, we weren't helping ourselves there.
Yeah,
let's get down to brass tacks on the Axeman.
Yeah, how do you think she should approach Axeman here?
I always approach everything the same way, with a calm and collected mind.
Right.
And that the only way to do that is getting in a truly Zen state.
Okay.
So what I would do,
mm-hmm.
you get four pieces of paper for your four options.
Right.
You make four origami cranes.
Okay.
You go to your favorite lake, river, stream, or...
Reservoir?
I think a reservoir just lies flat.
Oh, wait,
so does a lake. Okay, sorry. Let's get rid of lake
Not
and
all
reservoir.
Lakes. Some lakes have waves.
Let's go dam that flows.
Right.
Or, worst case scenario, brook.
Okay. Canal.
And what you do is you fold up four equal sized cranes and you number them 1 to 4 or use four different types of color, but the colors need to match. I don't want a pink.
Nope.
And like a mauve, you know? They need to go well together.
The palette needs to
be present.
Come on, guys, have some taste.
And what you do is you line them up side by side at the top of the stream.
Okay.
And you let them go.
Right.
And you sprint to the bottom, and the first one that reaches you is what you go with.
Oh, wait, I think we missed a huge portion of that. So do you assign each one to a decision?
To a decision.
There
are four of them.
Right.
Four ways. So
four
either
decisions. Right.
Either his name.
Right.
Either he made up Axeman.
Right.
He did make up Axeman. He's a superhero or a serial killer.
Right.
And once you figured that out, I think it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
What else you need to figure out.
Right. And then I think Sally can take it from there.
Sally can definitely take it from there.
Well, I'm really glad Sally wrote in today.
Thank you so much for writing in, Sally. We do try to take one question a week. We know we're being incredibly helpful to the community. But that's just kind of what we do, you know? Right. That's the point of the show. Once again, we can't help you. Only you can help you, but...
We can help you.
We can help you know how to help you.
Right.
It's you who has to make four origami cranes. It's you who has to go to a brook at 4 a.m.
Right.
With a lantern.
Exactly.
A wooden lantern. Find your way. Right. I think we're ready to play our next track.
Let's do it.
We've moved past the wake up phase. We're in the joyful phase.
Right.
We're in the fun phase.
Mm-hmm.
We're in that happy to be alive phase.
Exactly.
And this is the post 6:30 jam. This is Lapsley with Operator.
Thank you. Every year, 600 puppies die with every dollar not donated to WMFO. Luckily, there's hope. Support us with your credit card online at www.support.wmfo.org. Or make a check out to the Trustees of Tufts College and mail it to WMFO, Attention, Donation, P.O. Box 65, Medford, Massachusetts, 02155. Visit our website at WMFO.org for more info. And remember, it's your choice. Think of the puppies.
Yeah, so just reading that back for everybody who might have been coming in right now. We had three songs ago, we had Lapsley with Operator, He Doesn't Call Me. which very is a great cool. disco track.
Great disco track.
Yeah, it's really...
is that the new album?
She's taken off this year, yeah. That was the new album.
Nice.
And that was... it was the classic 50s song Operator done with a disco twist. And she hasn't done disco before.
Wow, yeah.
But...
she's more down-tempo, isn't she?
Yeah, she's kind of... Everyone kind of writ her off as one of those Jake Blake kind of... Right. Jake Blake.
That's a much better name for him.
Yeah, James Blake singers. Yeah. But she really, that cool. song really held her own. I'm really loving that track. Second on, we had St. Paul's and the Broken Bones with Call Me.
Very nice.
Some New Southern Soul with them. And finally, just there was the group Folklorique Montagnaise with Chekouan Mac.
Do you speak French? Is that French?
That was a little bit of French.
Wow.
This was off an incredible compilation album called Native North America Volume 1.
Nice.
And
wait, North America? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was...
very cool.
Yeah. Very, 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 very cool. Right. So as we approach the end of our show, we like to leave a good taste in everybody's mouth.
Right.
For you guys having breakfast, mm-hmm. you're taking a sip of your morning tea. You taste a little bit of dishwasher soap on it. It's
the taste
of disappointment. Do you know what we like to fill
ignore
it with?
Ignore it.
We like to fill it with the taste of...
Hope.
Of
a
new day.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, yeah, I was just going to go with hope. I was just like,
yep.
Hopefulness.
Right.
A taste of good things to come.
And with that, I think it's my pleasure to introduce our new weekly segment. This is the segment in which we will bring a fortune cookie to every show. Mm-hmm. And at around this time, what is it, 55 or something?
6:50 exactly.
6:50, yeah, so exactly at 6:50 we will be opening the fortune cookie and we will be reading the fortune cookie out loud. And then we'll just kind of ruminate about what philosophy is it, you know, what it has to teach us, I guess.
Yeah, let's hear.
So let me just open this fortune cookie. Let me just fumble with this a little bit. Let me see.
What do we got this week?
Okay, I'm just, here we go. Okay, well, today
don't get those crumbs everywhere, buddy.
Wow.
We're in a radio studio.
This is a messy one. No food or drink in here, right?
Yeah.
We'll have to keep this one in the down low. So today's fortune cookie says, I love this. It says, good things take time. That is probably the best fortune cookie I've ever
That's
opened.
So true.
Yeah. Do you agree? Do you think good things take time? Do you think all good things take time or just
I would say most good things do, in fact, take time.
Right.
But then...
I think it's more... I don't think, like, things are inherently good because they take a long time.
That's what I was about to say.
I think I
tried to grow a tomato plant and just nothing happened. It died.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure the tomatoes were kind of poisonous. I think it killed, like, a squirrel in my neighborhood.
Right.
So... just because something takes time doesn't mean it's good.
Doesn't mean it's good.
But if you want something good to happen, just wait a bit.
I think you nailed it. I think it's more about us. It's like, you know, we can't, you know, how do we know if something's good right off the bat? You know, the things that are the best and that are inherently good are good because we enjoy them for an extended period of time. So
mm-hmm.
I think this is really just a statement of that we should all be patient and just be open-minded and just kind of go through life that way.
What's something in your life that was good,
right,
that's been good recently but it took a long time to work up to?
That's a good question.
Not this election, am I right?
Oh no. Well, I guess we should remind our viewers to go
vote
tomorrow. In your precinct.
That is November
Well, this is
8th.
Actually kind of important. So a lot of people, let's just go with Tufts students. A lot of Tufts students don't know this, but you have, like, depending on where you live on the Tufts campus, you have a different location that you're supposed to vote to. Go online, search up Vote Tufts or something and check where you're supposed to vote, because it's not always, it's not Ganger. It happens to be Ganger for me.
I live in the same house you live in, so it also happens to be Ganger for me.
Right.
But
if you were a few streets over, then it might be somewhere else.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. So
it I think there's five places to vote if you live in Medford.
Right.
So everyone go up, look that up.
And going back to your question, good what's something good? It takes time. I will be attempting to make pho in a crock pot today. and that takes about 8 hours. I don't know if that answers your question, but I'm sure it'll be good, and it's going to take 8 hours. So
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is time.
That is the definition of time.
Right. Exactly, right.
That was, it's been pretty real today. We got to the bottom of some deep topics.
Today was good.
We got some good philosophizing in.
Right.
And we got...
I love...
And we hope everyone at home...
Right.
...managed to wake up well, wake up strong, productive, and managed to help themselves.
I like this time slot a lot, because when we get here, it's very dark. And when we leave, it's light out. And I hope our listeners have a similar type of progression. When you wake up to when you leave this show.
The wolves are howling in the mountains. And then when you leave, it's like
really bright.
That bit from Disney movies,
right,
where like forest animals help you change.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're floating on air.
We're the forest animals. But like not in a creepy way. We're just friends.
We're just hanging out. Like with your clothes in the woods. This is going to be our last song. We always like to play out the segment with our favorite song. And Medford, we thought the world of you. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is our favorite song.
Cigarettes are rolled up in his t-shirt sleeve. He got a tattoo on his arm, I say, baby, he got another one that just say, hey. And Sunday afternoon, he is a dirt track demon in a 57 Chevrolet. Fool. He don't know what fear's about. He do 130 mile an hour, smiling at the camera with a toothpick in his mouth. He got a girl back home named Odixie Dawn, but he got honeys all along the way. And you ought to hit him screaming for the dirt track demon in a 57 Chevrolet. Oh, Rapid Roy, that stock car boy, he too much to believe. You know he always got an extra pack of cigarettes, a roll up in his t-shirt sleeve. He got a tattoo on his arm, I say, baby, he got another one that just say, hey. But every Sunday afternoon, he is a dirt track demon in a 57 Chevrolet.